Voice of One Witness radio broadcast hosted by Billy Brim Ministries. Up next is the audiobook by Dr. Billy Brim, The Blood and the Glory, read by her daughter Shelley Brim. This classic teaching will guide you to discover the truth about the blood of Jesus and the glory of God. Stay tuned to the end of our broadcast to find out more on Billy Brim Ministries' next authority conference hosted near Tulsa, Oklahoma, April 27th through the 29th. This is a free special Tulsa, Oklahoma event. For more information, visit billybrim.org or call 417-336-4877.
Wigglesworth received his baptism in the Holy Spirit at Sutherland. Again, you can see the place of the blood in those days in his own account in his biography, The Apostle of Faith. Smith writes, "For 4 days, I wanted nothing but God. But after that, I felt I should leave for my home, and I went to the Episcopal Vicarage to say goodbye. I said to Mrs. Boddy, the vicar's wife, 'I'm going away, but I have not received the tongues yet.' She answered, 'It is not the tongues you need, but the baptism.' 'I have received the baptism, sister,' I protested, 'but I would like to have you lay hands on me before I leave.' She laid her hands on me and then had to go out of the room. The fire fell. It was a wonderful time as I was there with God alone. He bathed me in power. I was conscious of the cleansing of the precious blood, and I cried out, 'Clean, clean, clean.' I was filled with the joy of the consciousness of the cleansing. I was given a vision in which I saw the Lord Jesus Christ. I beheld the empty cross, and I saw him exalted at the right hand of God the Father. I could speak no longer in English, but I began to praise him in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave me utterance. I knew then, although I might have received anointings previously, that now, at last, I had received the real baptism in the Holy Spirit as they received on the day of Pentecost." Wigglesworth closed his report from Bradford in the first issue of Confidence with a poem. It may have come with his vision. Certainly it was a psalm from his spirit so recently filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. "My soul is filled with boundless love. Whilst gazing on the precious blood, I catch the rays of Jesus' face, transfixed in me the throne of grace. Wonders beyond the human mind, rushing into me a life divine. I feel the power of the Holy Dove and speak in tongues of things above." A.A. Boddy made a trip to Scotland and reported for the first issue on the outpouring there. The writer was so overwhelmed by the sights and scenes which met him on the sum of the last days of March that he could say, quote, "Behold, the one half was not told me," unquote. There is great spiritual power in the meetings. Scottish people know their Bibles. They are no fools, not carried away easily. But they know that God has appeared in their midst, and they praise him, and they exalt the ever-precious blood by which victory is assured. Reverend Barrett from Norway traveled extensively and sent reports to Confidence from around the world. He signed a letter in the first issue, "Yours forever in the blood and fire, Barrett." The September 1908 issue of Confidence was printed 1 year after the fire fell at Sutherland. In the opening article, "A Year of Blessing," September 1907, September 1908, Body enumerated 12 things they were thankful to God for. Here are the first three. Number one, no one but the Lord could have given to His servants in this place and to those who come long distances in order to have fellowship with Him such real hunger after Himself, such a desire to be loyal to the Lord and to His will. Number two, we thank Him for the difference, in many ways, between this year and previous years in the matter of worship. We have not forgotten that prayer meetings before were occasionally successful, though it was very hard to keep them up. They would dwindle and die. But Pentecostal prayer meetings, full of power and almost nightly, have gone on all the year round, equally successful in summer and in winter. The Lord makes His presence so real that we cannot stay away. They go on of themselves, for He is present. Number three, during the past 12 months, the atoning work of God's incarnate Son has, in a new way, been ever our theme. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus has been our constant and only plea, and we have, as never before, adored the Lamb that has been slain, worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, and in other tongues as the Spirit Himself gave utterance. Body visited Pastor Pullman's work in Amsterdam and wrote an in-depth report of the power of Pentecost in Holland. It was a most remarkable meeting as these dear Dutch saints prayed and sang in their own language or in tongues, and now and again a wave of power would just send them all adoring the Lamb together. When the blood was honored, the power was greatest. A letter from Motherwell, Scotland, included in the anniversary issue, is very enlightening. We were at Kilsyth 10 days ago and had a magnificent time. We had an altar call on Shabbat evening, and never, even when the work first began here, have we had such power. We just gathered at the front, perhaps three seats full on each side, and began to pray. When the fire fell, the scene and the glory was indescribable. God means us to go on day by day getting more and more of Himself. Was glad to see your article on the pleading of the blood. Boldness to enter the holiest by the blood. We got a message last Tuesday when a few of us gathered for prayer, confirming to us in the fact that in the pleading of the blood from the heart, lies your victory. Then came, read Leviticus. So have been going through it again, noting what God hath wrought and the place into which He has magnified the blood. We are so apt to look at the matter critically, forgetting that even when we were at heaven's gate, we shall have no other plead for entrance but the precious blood. Then there is, perhaps, another reason why, at this time as never before, we need to plead the blood. Christian Science, spiritualism, and even the new theology is just Christianity without the blood. Spurious and sham. The atonement, as a putting away of sin and sacrifice, is absent from the latter-day counterfeits. Then, in Peter's epistle, the last apostasy is denial of the Lord that bought them, the purchase of the blood. There seems to be far more truth than we ever dreamt of in the old hymn, The Spirit Answers to the Blood, sung and experienced by the Wesleyan Methodist in the days when God worked by them and in them. Victor Wilson. There's not space for more, but I could quote issue after issue of confidence with references to the blood's part in the Spirit's outpouring. I could quote issue after issue of the Pentecostal Evangel, the Assemblies of God periodical. More often than not, the editorial article by Stanley Frodsham, Wigglesworth's friend and biographer, was about the blood of our redemption. I found wonderful articles by Lillian B. Yeomans and others still known and revered today who were part of this outpouring. Now, for a brief look at the signs, wonders, and miracles which accompanied the outpouring. Chapter 24. The Anointing for Power. Some names held in honor today, Wigglesworth, Lake, Woodworth Eder, and many others, received their baptisms in the Holy Spirit in the latter rain outpouring. Ministers have searched for keys to their successes. Miracles and healings are well documented. People were raised from the dead during their ministries. In my study, I've come to see how the outpouring of the hour affected them. For one thing, when they received the Holy Spirit, it was just that. Holy. Their awe of the God of the anointing never left them. When the Spirit was poured out, it was a miraculous wonder to them. They hadn't gotten used to tongues and prophecy. They respected the gifts. It was accepted that to walk in such wondrous and holy things, one would need to walk cleansed. The blood was for that. Later, two or three generations or so, outward things were taught for holiness. But at the first, when they spoke of holiness, they spoke of the blood. John G. Lake. John G. Lake sent a report from South Africa to Confidence for the August 1909 issue. He states, "The night before last, a crippled native woman came to the meeting on her hands and knees. She had been in this condition several years. We prayed for her. Instantly, Jesus set her free, so she arose and walked, praising God. Several gave their hearts to God at that time. We make them pray through until God fills their souls with Himself. This morning, another woman came with violent pains in her head, chest, and back, apparently pneumonia. We prayed for her. Jesus instantly healed her. She burst into tears. The Spirit came upon her, and she was saved right there. At Pote Gietersroost, a dead child came back to life when our native evangelist prayed 7 hours after it died. At a children's meeting, native children, a choir of angels appeared, angel children, and sang, 'Suffer, little children, to come unto me.'"
Thank you for listening to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast hosted by Billy Brim Ministries. What you just heard was from Dr. Billy Brim's audiobook, The Blood and the Glory, read by her daughter, Shelley Brim. Live near Tulsa, Oklahoma, April 27th through the 29th. Join Dr. Billy Brim for our authority conference at our home church in a glorious church fellowship. Save the dates and make your plans now to join the upcoming authority conference near Tulsa, April 27th through the 29th. Joining Dr. Billy Brim in these powerful meetings will be Chip and Shelley Brim. For more information about the Tulsa Area Authority Conference, visit billybrim.org or call 417-336-4877.